because most denomination has it wrong. Yes, and so we're all denominational people. Yeah, yes, and so we set some pins and needles when you go dealing with this, because, you know, we say, well, I got my religion now. I want to make sure I'm not going off or nothing. No, it's the message of being saved by grace, reigning in life by grace. Ministry cannot be function right without the knowledge and understanding of how grace works. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's going to give you relief. You've been carrying 20, 25 years. It'll give you relief in one moment. Turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Then I'm going to share another scenario with you that have robbed you immensely, and your life going to turn around instantly tonight. And I think that's what school is all about. And I think that's what the Holy Ghost is all about. I think that's what Revelation is about. You notice Romans 9, 1. We're going to read it because we need to read it, because they have a word in there called conscience. Now, let's read it. Go ahead and read it.
I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bears witness in the Holy Ghost.
All right. Now, when you don't understand that Jesus did it all, that there's a finished work, and that finished work is a work of grace, what you live with and don't know it is an unrestful conscience. Write it down, an unrestful conscience. Because you're not conscious of the fact fully that you're delivered. You delivered one week, the next week you're confessing a bunch of things, next week you're delivered. And if Jesus didn't take care of your past, present, and future sin, it wasn't a complete job.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, with an unrestful conscience, here's what happened. There's a little voice that, not audibly, but loud enough for you to hear it. That little voice is doing this. Somebody got to pay for it. Somebody got to pay for this. 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 Because unconsciously you're being dealt with, not knowing you're being dealt with because your conscience is not clear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
Because if you don't believe that grace, and that it's something you have to do,
yes,
to make it happen, grace can't clear your conscience. And so sometimes your body say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's where sickness and disease, a lot of sickness and disease come from, because you feel you're guilty.
Yes. Wow.
And Satan constantly telling you you're guilty.
Yes, sir.
And if grace, if you don't understand grace, you don't understand mercy.
Yes.
If you don't understand grace, you don't understand mercy, you don't understand the love of God.
Yes.
See? So your conscience hollering at you all the time because you believe that your Christian life is a life that you have to perform.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So instead of you receiving, you're trying to perform.
Yes.
And it causes a problem. So what you have is a conscience that cannot bear witness with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because it doesn't have the fiber of the grace of God to help it. Are you understanding me? All right, so that's one way you look at it. Now, another thing we have done, and the reason it left us in a barricade, is that charismatic, I'm a charismatic, word of faith, we go straight to warfare. We standing, we fighting.
Yes,
we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and start a war,
yes,
and standing our ground, and
yes,
binding the devil,
yes,
break his power in the name of Jesus. Well, you don't go to warfare first. Now, the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians has nothing practical to do. The first three chapters is called doctrine, teaching, proper alignment, spiritual understanding, insight, illumination from God, His Word, and the Holy Spirit, preparation time. Don't do nothing now. Don't move now. Just listen to me. Look at the third verse in that chapter. Ephesians 1, look at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Chapter 1, 2, and 3 is doctrine, is teaching. It's nothing for you to do.
Yes.
See, we want something to do, but and so We probably found some verses in there to do, but ain't nothing to do. And nothing to do is all you got to do in them three chapters is receive the enlightenment, insight of who you really are in Christ. See, it told you how you were saved. And you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. One must get that under their belt before they go to a lifestyle. One writer said like this, you must know the wealth before you start walking. See, those three verses is the wealth. It's the wealth. It's revelation wealth. Revelation is wealth. Insight on God, insight on Jesus, insight on the Holy Spirit, insight on God's ways of doing things in righteousness is called wealth. It's spiritual wealth. And if you try to walk without the wealth, and that's what has happened at large, because since we left the grace, understanding of God's grace out, if you try to walk without the wealth, you got a problem. But you know, we went straight to warfare. See, it's supposed to be the wealth, the walk, then the warfare. You don't start off in Ephesians chapter 6. You start off in Ephesians chapter 1. Because Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3 prepared you for Ephesians 4, 5 and prepared you for 6. You understand that? So the doctrine, the lifestyle, then the warfare. You can't get them mixed up. Or the wealth, the walk, then the warfare. Or sit. See the first three chapters of setting time. Nobody wants sit. See, the setting is when you're going to be taught and when you're going to be told proper spiritual truth. That when you get ready now to live this thing, you're living it in the right capacity with the right information. Yes, yes. Got it? Yes. Now, the warfare won't be no problem, but if you don't understand it at the beginning properly, you're going to go into warfare wrestling and fighting. But you notice three times it says stand in the warfare, if you read Ephesians right. See, once you have learn the doctrine properly and walk the lifestyle. When you get over there, when war start out, you ain't going to be crying and running to everybody trying to get your scripture, because now you're powerful enough to stand in the grace of God. Amen. Stand in the mercy of God, stand in the love of God, stand in the forgiveness of God, and knowing that God will never, never, never turn his back on you. So I'm going to show you some scripture tonight that's going to help you along those lines. But I couldn't explain. I couldn't explain it this morning to my staff. I can't explain it clear enough tonight of this unrestful conscience, because we believe that we have to do it. And then if we say grace is not sufficient, we are saying that the blood of Jesus is weaker than your sin. We are saying that the devil is stronger than the crucifixion. Think about it. I want you to think about that. I want to think about that. If we're saying the grace of God was manufactured at the crucifixion, the full-blown grace of God. I know the other time God showed favor. But it was manifested at the crucifixion of Christ. And Jesus said more than one time, he talked about finishing the Father's work. In the 17th chapter of John, he talks about finishing. It is finished in John 19. And so what we got our problem? Here's our problem where we can't understand the revelation of grace as we should. Number one, religion. Number two, rituals. And number three, rules. We have become rule-minded in the church instead of revelation-minded. And it causes us to be fighting all the time. Now, it's supposed to be a relationship, revelation, and reigning. Let's get the two different now. One is religion, rituals, and rule. When you come to understand the grace of God, the love of God, the impartation of the Holy Spirit through Christ's death, then you come to a place where you have a relationship. In one of my devotions this morning, it says, talk about being conscious of your position in Christ at all times. You, John 15, a very familiar chapter about the vine and the branches. You're not becoming a branch. You are a branch once you're born again. And you have to be conscious of that relationship. No matter what circumstance or what situation come up, your position is greater than that. But you got to know how to stay in position and not become fearful because of what's going on around you. Really, nothing can take you. Nothing can take you, see. See, if you don't turn to Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 9 and 10. If you don't get this straight, if you don't get grace straight, you're not going to get righteousness straight. Righteousness is a force. It's really the life of God. Yes, sir. See, but you cannot, through the law, you cannot understand righteousness was worked by faith. Mm-hmm. It's faith. It's not a feeling. It's not friction. It's faith. So if you go about without grace, here's what happened. You go about to establish your own righteousness. Yes, sir. That's it. You know, I go to church every Sunday. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? He said, I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithe. The Lord ain't paid no mind. The Lord told the man, come on, go with me, the other man. Yeah. Uh-huh. So what you have then, the ninth verse, read the ninth verse. Your own righteousness is called in the religious circle, they don't call it that, but I call it this, self-righteousness. Yes, and so you have self-righteousness setting in the place of the righteousness of God, and when the power needed, you're not going to have it. You're going to break. You're going to fall. You're not going to be able to stand your ground because you're not operating in the real righteousness. You're operating in self-righteousness, man-made righteousness, not in the righteousness of the Spirit. Go on and say now. See, because let me tell you ahead of time, class. Why most men have a form of godliness and die in the power thereof is because they don't understand grace. Yes, sir. They're trying to do it themselves. And by doing it, they're establishing their own righteousness. I don't do this, and I don't do that. I don't do this, and I don't do that. That don't establish your righteousness. Now, let's just tell you a minute. I'm going to come back to that ninth verse. Let me give you a little quiz here. Here's this sinner. He never accepted Christ, all right? A man or woman never accepted Christ. But they're just a nice person. Yes, sir. So they do some right things. You know, they help the old lady, give some money. Uh-huh. But it didn't make them righteous. Right. Why? Why it didn't make them righteous? What? They haven't accepted Christ as the Savior. They didn't make them right. But they did do some right thing. Y'all know some sinners do some right thing? Huh? Did it make them righteous? No. All right, you righteous. You do some wrong thing.
That's good.
Do that make you unrighteous?
No,
sir. No. See, so why you play one side of the game? See, because there's a religious fear there. And there's that the total reliance is not there in Christ, and is not giving Christ his full status, because denomination, the church, and religions, and riches, and rule, and people trying to live the Ten Commandments of a bunch of do this, do that, and don't do that, don't do that, and they're trying to make themselves holy. So now you got that ninth verse. Now I'm telling you, the ninth verse is going to lead you into. When you get rid of self-righteousness, you're going to walk right into the power of Jesus' resurrection. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the church can't walk. The church not walking in that power. Let's read the ninth verse. The righteousness is what is of God by faith, not feeling. Remember how we used to try to feel right?
Yeah.
I don't feel nothing. Well, yeah, you might not feel nothing. Then he says, now, you knowing him in righteousness, not trying to establish your own righteousness, knowing him in righteousness, step you off into that 10th verse now.
Right.
You know him.
Yes.
Power is resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, yes, being conformed to his death. That's resurrection all day long. See, can you see that?
Yes, sir.
That is powerful. That is powerful.
Yes, sir.
Now, that is powerful. You see, all of these things we have to study to really understand the grace of God. God, Lord, called another scripture to my attention, and I said I'm going to go back and get it when I was talking to you about this. Because I want to lay a grace foundation that nobody can pull you from the grace of God. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. But someday you're going to be washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's a done deal. That verse is kin to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or 1 John, thank you, Lord. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12 said, but as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the son of God. Either you're a son of God or you're not.
Yes.
Then you go over to, and I think I shared this with you, but I need to share it with you again. You go over to 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. And I think in our class we had that scripture in Timothy where we saw that we need to be apt to teach with patience, that a person may make a discovery and then they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. But 1 John 5:18 don't make no sense unless you understand the message of grace. There's no way. You're talking about keeping yourself and the wicked one touches you not. See, if you don't know how to walk in the grace that and the righteousness that God have given you, you're not going to be able to keep yourself.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And then when you do miss it, you're not going to know that God's still carrying you. Now you think about going, whether you're going to hell, you think about, well, I'm sick because of this, I'm broke because of this, my family, this stuff done got in my family because of this. Now, I recognize that if you live in sin, you're going to open the door for the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 4:27 said, not to give no place to the devil. But I don't know why people fight for that so much.
Yeah.
When I'm telling you how not to do it, why you won't fight for the door to be open?
Yeah.
And then you're not the Savior.
Right.
You're not the judge.
Right.
Come on now. Wait. Don't shop it out because I'm preaching good. All right, now, I wanted to argue with the Lord about this in some way because the Lord said the indictment was the church not properly understanding the message of the gospel of grace and the word of grace become accusers of the brethren. I said, no. I said, that didn't say that. I said, it didn't say accuse of the brother. And I read it many, probably a thousand times. He said, yeah, that's what it says. And you know when you do that, who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Revelation 12.
Yeah.
See. He bring you as an accuser because, see, we got to get to the point where we're wearing a non-condemnation anointed. I'm not condemning. I'm not condemning nobody else.
Yes, right.
See. And I have scriptures to prove that non-condemnation. I might get to it. But here in Revelation, you still here, class?
Yes, sir.
I know we're walking on turf, but I think that you're being prepared for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
This is a generation going to need to know the truth of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And as all other times, it's going to be a remnant.
Yes, sir.
Just a remnant of people going to get their money.
Yes.
I'll be in Texas Thursday and Friday. Just a remnant.
Yes.
I got a scripture. Just a remnant going to get it.
Yes.
The rest of them not going to get it. They're going to sit around, talk that talk, and not walk the walk. They're not going to never be able to be used as a vessel of stewardship for the Lord. Because it got too much baggage. Remember the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to beset you. It's a weight. The law is a weight that was a schoolmaster to point you to Christ. Once Christ arrived, he fulfilled the law. And still in the fuel of the law is what? The fuel of grace is believe.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See. Now see, the question asks you, well, now we don't do no work. You know we got things to do. But the grace part has to be done properly before you can get into the greater works.
Yes.
Because if you go into greater works in your own strength, that's why we're not seeing the miracle. Because
right.
You're there with a bad conscience.
You
have an unload and put it on Christ. You can't even get yourself together.
Yeah.
Now you got a false front.
Yeah.
You act like you're all, you know, I prayed 2 hours and I read 10 scriptures. That don't make no difference.
That's right. That's right.
You still all shook up. Because
yeah.
If somebody would really know the truth, get some x-ray on you, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to break out. You're going to cop out. Like somebody, you're going to punk out. You're going to lay down.
Yeah.
You say, I don't know what to do. I've been praying. I don't know what to do. My house is going to hell. I can't even get my husband to act right, my wife, my children. I'm just out here preaching and condemning other people.
Yes, sir.
But are you really crying? I need some help myself.
Yes, sir.
You know, when I heard a boy say, you know, the charismatic, follow the spirit. We go with the spirit. All right, spirit, what spirit you going with? You got to know, you have to know some things yourself.
Yes, sir.
We get all these... All these great revelations, you know. I want to read in the 10th verse because we sometimes jump and don't see what the Lord's saying. See, Jesus sees here in the 10th verse, then in 5:12 of Revelation and 7:12 of Revelation. I want you to get this. Revelation 5:12, Revelation 7:12, I believe it is. And here we got in Revelation 12:10. Some powerful things is told us here. About the goodness of God, and about the grace of God, and about the power of God, and about the provision that we really have in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we quote the scripture, in him we live, move, have our being. What? You think this sound good to us? Real song, real good. Now notice in the 10th verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come what?
Salvation.
You know what salvation is? All right, and strength, hope you do, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ. You see that? He said, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, that's our cousin. If you don't understand grace, that's our cousin. See, what happened to you when you're not walking in grace and love and forgiveness, you finding somebody who you think doing less than you. And you judge that person and condemn that person so you can look better. Oh, y'all don't want it, but this is, and I'm trying to teach y'all so y'all can teach people right. That's what's happening. These people going around pointing their finger at other people because they don't understand grace. You're always going to have somebody abuse anything. But God got it. God got it. Now look, verse 11 said, they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, love not their life unto death. Now anytime you talk about the blood of the Lamb, anytime you talk about righteousness, anytime you talk about mercy, you're talking about grace. You're talking about a favor, preferential treatment. That's really what God did for us, all right? And you see 7:12, 5:12, some of the things he got for them. I'm trying to get a little further. I got a lot of things. You know, I've been working all day. My secretary been working all day. I got so much stuff to talk about. Let's look at a familiar scripture that I got saved, or many of y'all might have got saved. John chapter 3. John 3. Because I want to deal with no condemnation. We need to deal with that, because that's one of the factors that keep us from flowing with God. We get off in this condemnation. You know, God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The 17th verse said, for God sent not his Son into the world to do what? The world. But that the world through him might be what? All right, he that believeth on him is what? Yeah, he that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he that believeth in him is not condemned. Now, what you have to understand, in Romans 8:1, the translators added some word to that verse. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's it. It was supposed to be a period there. They had that walk in the flesh, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But it says that, if you read that in the original Greek, it said there's no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So now, you have to learn the lesson of no condemnation if you're going to walk in the power. And Jesus laid it out for us. The gift of no condemnation, you can find it in that passage, was the 8th chapter of John, where he had a woman in adultery. I think it's the 8th chapter of John, and then all the accusers left. You remember? They dropped their stone. And Jesus rose up and asked the woman, said, anybody, there any accuser? And they said, we better look at that. I think it's the 8th chapter of John. And he said, no, because I want to show you something that I believe will be pivotal in your shift in your life to understand the gospel of grace. Find that woman. Verse 3, she was, what, John what? 8th chapter. Verse 10. She would have asked all the accusers left. Let's see how Jesus is going to handle it with grace. And Jesus, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man what? Condemned thee, right? Yes, sir. Now, if anybody have a right to condemn somebody, I mean, the only person who can condemn somebody is Jesus. You can see by all them dropping them stone. You know that same thing could be played out in this room tonight? All of us can stand up and have somebody up here. And I could ask the question, you who without sin cast the first stone? Y'all all go home. And then you look back and you see a head like this be me behind you. We just don't have it. We don't have a right to do it. Why we do it? That's what we've been taught. Huh? So watch what he says here now. Because you get a revelation of I want the gift of no condemnation. Now, condemnation, watch this now, watch this, the Holy Ghost. Condemnation is like spiritual contamination. It clogged the line of revelation, of forgiveness, of power, and of glory that the Lord wants you to have. That's why you have to know that all your sin, once and for all, the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8, he said, I remember your sins no more. Wipe it out. I got you covered from A to Z. That's why the Bible said, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. In Hebrews 12 and 2, he got you covered. I'm Alpha and Omega. I got you covered. My grace is not going part of the way with you. We're going through this whole journey on earth together, and I'm going to keep you covered with my grace. Yes, you're going to make some mistake, but you're going to come to a point where I'm going to give you godly sorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
And you'll repent of that as if you didn't sin. There's two sorrows, worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, you know. Godly sorrow leads you to salvation. Worldly sorrow leads you to rejection. You see, oh my, I'm on four lessons at one time. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads you to real, true repentance. Now, I remember back time, I don't have to call the church when I said you're going to have these horror, fearful, hell-like plays they would bring to the church. Watch what I'm going to say now. Thousand was going to the altar. Notice how I said that. Notice how I said that. Thousand was going to the altar crying. And she gave me Jesus. They scared the hell out of them people. Them people wasn't really saved. Them people wasn't really saved because none of them people gone. They ain't had to say no one people left. Some people signed that book, were scared that night, and got back into the natural. People ain't in them churches now. But they were getting thousands of going to the altar. And you know, I sort of questioned it. As a brother in Christ, why would they do that to them people?
Yeah.
Yes, see? Yes, it wasn't genuine.
Yeah. Right.
See, we can't let the world practitioners come into the church. Yeah. With these little plays and all this stuff, then they come up with somebody and set up and got all these ideals, then they're gonna scare the hell out of people. And then the Bible told you preach, he ain't told you do that. Y'all remember how all that stuff was going on? All them people talking about they saved, crying, and on media, to news media and all that, talking about thousands getting saved. I knew they wasn't getting saved. Yeah, them people the same way they were. Them people just got scared. And then they come to that fictitious stuff. But the real preaching, they don't want real preaching. All right, let's go back to this text here. Because I want to see what Jesus said here, and I want to tell you something about it in the 8th chapter of John. Because the gift, I want you to write in your note, receiving the gift of no condemnation. Write that in your notes. You need to have that. Because if we catch what Jesus said here, he said in the 11th verse, he said, no man, Lord, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to him, neither do I condemn thee. Right? What he said next? Now, how we deal with this? We say, go and sin no more, and we won't condemn you. See, we got it backwards. See, when you receive the gift of no condemnation, it enables you to go and sin no more. God's love become greater than the sin. All right? Tradition says, go and sin no more, and then receive no condemnation. What they say, go and sin no more and then receive no condemnation. Man, I need to get rid of this condemnation so I won't go sin no more. Turn to Romans 8 again. Romans 8, if we didn't go there, we're going there now. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Well, you see it. You see that? And then write these scriptures down. John 19:30. John 17:4 and John 4:35 is all dealing with finish. John 19:30 is the finished work, but Jesus talk about in the other two verses of finishing something for the Lord. I don't know. John 19:30, John 17:4 and John 4:35. The last one, 4:35, John. All right, now, what we're going to do, here's a verse here. Turn to Hebrews 10. I'm trying to take you places that you haven't been. Because organized religion won't let you go there.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, we're trying to hold on. Now, if you don't believe this word here, I might not could help you. This is Hebrew 10, and we read over these verses because we didn't understand it. Because if you don't understand grace, these verses don't make no sense to you. A lot of things are starting making spiritual sense to you in the Bible now because you know the effect of Jesus' crucifixion. He paid it all. All right? We can't rob Christ of this, man. Christ did it. The Bible said once and for all. He sat down. All them other priests, they didn't even have no chair in there where they was because they never finished. Every day, Jesus sat down. It's a matter of rest. It's a matter of victory. It's a matter of it's all over. See? Now, this verse should change your life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Or you can see, look at verse 11. I just said it. Let's go back up to verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. For February to March. No. Once and for what?
All.
Come on, class. Once and for what that mean, once and for all? What once? It's over. It's a done deal. You remember John, you cannot be taken out of the hand of Christ. Once you get in Christ's hand, nobody, John, talk about it. No man should pluck you out of my hand. By thee which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest stand daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. All right, I'm going after something. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. I'm saying forever, man. For set down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemy be made his footstool. Now look at verse 14. For by one offering, he has What? Perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you perfected till you sin, right? No accusation, no condemnation, no separation. Can't do it. His accusation won't work. His condemnation won't work when you know the truth. And he cannot separate you. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. God's love is too strong for separation. I just want to tell you right now, Jesus is stronger than Satan.
Yes, sir.
Heaven is stronger than hell. Righteousness is stronger than unrighteousness. You look at it, Romans 8, 35 through 39, where you say, let nothing separate him from the love of God. We talked about your sanctification in 1 Thessalonians 6, 11. I was meditating and studying grace. I've been studying grace now for a while. Lady gave me a book gave me a book about 3 years ago on grace, on the same thing I'm studying now. That happened to me twice, or probably more than twice. It happened to me three times. I told you the story of overcoming inferiority. I had a self-help book given to me because the Lord knew I was going to preach in Madison Square Garden to thousands of people, and got a television broadcast and internet, everything. I had to go through all those things. I meet some high-class people, and I know how to deal with them, and I had an inferiority complex. So I'm still working at the plant. I go to get some tires put on my car. A man I hadn't seen in 30 years, him and I went to 4-H camp together. Matter of fact, he was the man over Russell. He was over that deal when New Orleans was having that flood. That general who was over there, that was him. He was a friend of mine. So we met. I said, "Man, Russell." He said, "Man, Leroy." We went over. We said, "Let's go over to the coffee shop and donut shop." I said, "All right." We're sitting there. I said, "Russell, what you doing?" He said, "I'm a captain in the Army." He said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm a pastor." We talked a few minutes. He said, "Look, I want you to read this book." The book was "I'm Okay, You Okay." It's a self-help book by Dr. Harris. And so I got the book and got back to work. But I'm all excited. I got in that book to read. I want to read the Bible, you know. I ain't reading about "I'm Okay, You Okay" and all these transaction analysis and all this stuff. You know, "You Okay" and "I'm Not Okay" and all that stuff. Full position. I threw it in the locker. Stayed in the locker for years. Finally, one day I was in my locker getting something. God said, "I want you to read that book." And so I read it. When I read it, it changed my life physically, mentally, and all victimization stopped in my life. Nobody couldn't victimize me. Couldn't tell no joke. You know, sometimes people tell a joke, and they don't say it's for black folk. It says two Chinese. But it's actually two black men. You stupid enough to stand there and laugh, you know. but I got hip to that. The Lord showed me how to stop that, and I stopped that. I stopped because I was being victimized almost by it. Now, I'd fight. But you can't fight if you can't think. You're pointing out, "Thank you." And if you have a slave mentality, words can get around you. You don't even know what's happening to you. So I corrected all that from that book. God wanted that book. I corrected everybody in the place. I knew how to handle them. You know, they said, crack a joke, that it wasn't kosher. It was hurting somebody. I never laughed. I just stood there and looked them straight in the eye. And people started leaving. They couldn't handle it. People cried. "Man, I just won't play." I said, No. "Well, I'm a grown man. You're a grown man. We don't need to be playing like this no more." "Yes, sir. What happened to you?" I said, "I come alive that I was being victimized, being a victim. I go to the lab. I had a good job. I go to the lab. The guy tried to crack a joke in the lab. I said, "Who you talking to? Or who you talking about?" All of them get all quiet, and, you know. So that's one book. Another book was handed to me some years later by Fred Price, "Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption." Boy, young boy, give me that book. All right, I'm trying to show you something now. All right, so I read a few pages in that book. I said, "This man's out of his mind. He talked to God like that, and he think he can do this." So I put his book up for years. Then God told me, said, "Go back and read that book." I got back and read the book, and it opened up to me like the Red Sea. And then that's when I started following Fred and started watching him. It broke because I understood. Well, Deidre Mama 3 years ago gave me a book on grace. And I read it and preached about two messages, said something about it. But I didn't understand. I put it up. Now I'm right back there. Many years later, I'm back there because God was trying to get it to me. So that's the way I feel about some of y'all. See, you're sitting here. God sent you to this school for a reason. And your background training gonna try to rob you. I don't know if you're gonna take this now or not, but you'll come back to it. It's the real deal. And so I'm just praying for it. So when I was meditating, I asked Jesus to take me to another level of his grace. And so I got these words: "Not what I deserve, not what I have loved, but I thank you for the gift of your grace. There are so many things I've tried to achieve, but now, Lord, I'm ready to receive." How many of y'all ready to receive? How many of y'all been trying to achieve a lot of things with scriptures? Remember Jesus said, "Search the scripture, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." See, unless the Lord revealed to you, And so I have this thing, and, you know, I don't know if I need to use it in here. Hope I don't have to use it. Make sure you're generally saved. And people have come through travels, many hard hours of praying. Sisters laid hand on them, told them you got it now. It's very simple. You got to accept Christ. So you make sure you're saved. And then when you show you're saved and how you were saved by Ephesians 2:8, now by recognizing the revelation of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he came full of grace and truth, and accepting him for that, now you're ready to reign in life. Why Christians are not reigning? Why some of y'all still broke? I have my church, I've been teaching the church. I said, hold your hand up, everybody who got some pills or something in their pocket. The whole church is about. By not rightly dividing the word. Even though we know some things about the scripture, we love God.
Yes, sir.
Then you go from being saved to reigning in life. Then turn to 1 John 4:17. Just taking through some stages that we never really had the ability to go through because we were trying to go through it the wrong way. By your own human effort. The Lord said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me daily. See? Then when you deny yourself, then you'll be able to keep yourself. Then when you deny yourself, you're able to keep yourself. Then you'll be able to know how to recover from the snares of the devil through this life journey. You follow me, Claire? I talked 2 hours and 40 minutes at night. Don't you expect that tonight? I got home, fell out, man. I said, good God. I said, how many? And that boy said, 2 hours and 47 minutes. And I said, what? Because I wanted to get some basic things out to you. And 1 John 4:17 said, here in our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, that boldness in any type of judgment is because we just lack it.
Yes, sir.
But that's, may I put it this way, that's a grace factor.
Yes. Right.
You have to understand, that's a grace factor. That's a factor that even though I make mistakes, but I'm still the righteousness of God.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I know we're concerned about somebody got to suffer. I know we're concerned about that. If they do wrong, they got to suffer. Well, don't you suffer with them, baby. Let them handle it. They're going to be a jack and try to play games on God. They've got to deal with them. You deal with what you're dealing with.
Yes, sir.
You got to understand in the love of God in Christ and the work of grace is more powerful than life itself. And, you know, you got 1 John 5:18 and 20 there. I want you to look at it. I'm going to keep going. Turn to Romans chapter 6. So I'm hitting hot spots, all right? And then the Holy Spirit is going to help you. I feel, you know, I'm plowing. And I just a few minutes ago felt an anointing. You know, because you said to people, you got these mind clicking. Shoot, you've been taught, man, you got to suffer. And, you know, these minds say, man, I wonder if this is really true. You know. See, when God's goodness brings you to repentance, you acknowledge you've done wrong, but not to be forgiven. You're doing that because you know you are forgiven. And you're aligning yourself back with who you are. Now, actually, when you get to 1 John 1:9, that's the scripture you've been riding on. You go in Paul's epistles, you ain't got nothing about asking for forgiveness. Ephesians, nothing. Point, y'all got them things that you hit that button and the thing tell you all the scriptures?
Right.
I hit it today. I say, oh, no, Lord. He said, hit it. Push the button. That little girl, remember that little girl had that bomb around her? Push the button. I can't say exactly what you said. You know, push the button. And on the only scripture come up is 1 John 1:9. And I'm studying now, but it said that first chapter was dealing with people who didn't believe. See, you already forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Your sin's already paid for. See. And I'll get to it in a few minutes. In Romans 6, the 11th verse says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See? So you got to do that. Just yield. See. In all my years of being saved, I never practiced no sin. Have I sinned? Yeah. But I never practiced it. Have you sinned? Yes. With your pressed down, clinging self, you have sinned. I tell you right now, you need God. And you need the love of God. Anybody, I read my Bible. Yeah, you read your Bible. You will sin by that because you're standing at the other point there reading their Bible like I'm reading mine. That's a sin right there. Now, I told you about the great recovery program that God had for a person to get caught snaring the devil. Then 2 Timothy 2:24-26, that you teach him properly that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, I want you to go with me to Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4. I say that I mentioned this tonight, but I want you to see it. This is the complete opposite of what the church has been taught. But look what it says, man. It's some pretty heavy word too. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. How you do that? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See? You despise it. Despise thou the riches of his goodness. And you see, you don't see the word grace in there, but it's in there. Okay. Then you go on. Now, this is, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, class. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll see something else. My oldest son and I was talking. I went over by his office. We were talking a few minutes. We talked about this. Is it 1 Corinthians? It might be 2 Corinthians. Let me see. I might have put 1 Corinthians on paper, Barbara, not you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. You there? For though I made you sorrow with a letter, I did not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it was but for a season. Now, I rejoice not that you were made sorrow, but that your sorrow, ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Godly repentance leads you back to who you really are. Okay. You recognize you made a mistake, but it leads you back to, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Even though I messed up, but I'm still a child of God. All right. Now, here's what happens here. When you don't understand grace, and you're trying to operate by the law, all you end up with is behavior modification. You're trying to adjust yourself to fit in. Yes, sir. as an upright citizen in the church. But it's only humanistic power. You're not going to make it. So you have a behavior modification, trying to be a Christian who's constantly modifying their behavior because they don't have the full revelation of a grace lifestyle. In public, they act one way. In private, another. And anything can happen because it's not real. Christian homosexual. Christian gamblers. They're really Christian. But they're trying to stop that demon with human power. Watch now. Watch this. You're going to be a slap with scripture. They're trying to stop him with the Bible. But the Bible can't help you if the word is not rightly divided. Everything they do is by human effort, by their own strength, and they can't do it. Now, the opposite of that is when you get the real thing, it's transformation. Yes, sir. That's why you have a genuine experience in the Spirit. Yeah. You trust in the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, and the righteousness of God. And you're renewing your mind consistently. You see the difference? Yes, sir. So a lot of things that you see in the church is behavior modification. And they think they're the deepest one. Grace does not result in superficial behavior modification, but in inward heart transformation. You don't have to worry about how your behavior will be governed without a consciousness of the law. The word of God said that grace will teach you. For the grace of God that have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You know, we read that in Titus, remember? Grace is the teacher. It taught Zacchaeus. You remember that man up in the tree? You remember what happened when he experienced that abundance of grace? He started saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Give half of my good. Change it. Start changing it. Now, I've talked to you about that unrestful conscience. Those of us who have not understood the message of grace have an unrestful conscience, and that might be where the high blood pressure came from. Your body trying to make up for your mistakes. Or your mind, gentlemen, depression, oppression, and stuff comes from Satan used it. So one of the greatest tricks that have been pulled against us is having an unrestful conscience. Your conscience, when not properly educated, is always hollering, somebody got to pay for this. Somebody got to pay for this. Somebody got to pay for this. Now, when a person understands grace, it's already paid for. It's already paid for. You answer it. Already put under the blood of Jesus. See, if you don't know it's already paid for, your conscience is confused, can't bear witness with the Holy Ghost, you become unrestful. Somebody got to pay for this. I don't know where we've been. So the scripture, Romans 9:1, is a conscience that is aware of this, of the finished work of the finished work. I'm forgiven. God loved me. Say, and you can't say that. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness. You're cutting Satan's leg from under him. You're cutting the leg off of sin. You're cutting the leg off of sickness. You're cutting the leg off of lack. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You get up in the bed, you get in the morning, when you rise up, you need to say that through the day. Any type of weight, like it get on you, like you're not going to make it, like something, just, you know, still praying 3 hours and don't get no result because you ain't praying, you ain't believing in grace. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you got to be bold enough to say that, because you see, you got to be bold enough because you know you got some shortcomings, right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
do all up y'all up in here know you got some shortcomings?
Yes, sir.
Is there one who believes they have none? May I talk to you after class? Probably going to ask for your resignation. You need to go to another school because you too smart for us. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
God loved me.
God loves me.
And I love God.
And I love
right now.
Right now.
Glory to God. Yes, sir. Oh, now we keep saying that the power of glory to come. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Now you got to say it with a meaning. You can't say it with cool labakali, buskunan, the being maroma. You can't say it with that old sin tag on your head. You have to say it with confidence.
Yes.
Where is it? 1 John 3? Turn to 1 John 3. If your heart condemn you not, you have confidence toward God. And if your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I mean right standing with God all the time. Even when I mess up. Because my right standing, Jerry, is not based on Leroy. It's based on what Jesus has done for me.
Yes.
Jesus is right. The righteous one live on the inside of me.
Thank
you, Lord.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. We'll close a minute. Trying to do warfare. I went over all this standing. I'm not going to really go over it no more. I went over Luke 9:23. You know, I studied a book called Destined to Reign. And the introduction is goes this way. In this class, you will discover the secret of God's way, that it is all by his grace to reign effortlessly in life. You cannot say you're teaching on grace by letting everyone know you're saved by grace and then mix it by preaching the law. When you're trying to balance grace with the law, the moment you balance grace, you neutralize it. Turn to Matthew 9:17. This will help you. Or Mark 2:22, both of them. You can't put new wine in old bottles. See. Why? Because the old bottle can't handle the new wine. You're going to birth it. See. You cannot put grace and law together. They don't go in the same bottle. See, Jesus fulfilled the law. So the book asks the question, are you preaching grace the way Apostle Paul preached the gospel of grace? You know, Paul called it, and that's how the Lord got me on his trail. He told me to teach the book of Galatians verse by verse. Remember I started out? Then Paul started talking about another gospel. Man, put in one gospel, two gospels, another gospel. Any gospel, Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, in Galatians chapter 1, let him be accursed. Then he said it right the same thing over again. Because Paul was given the revelation of the gospel of grace. That's why the Holy Spirit and Father God let him wrote over half of the New Testament. It was all from Genesis working to that.
Yes, sir.
After Adam and mess up. See, the reason Adam was naked, they had the glory. The glory was their clothes.
Yes, sir.
You wouldn't see their bodies. You saw glory. You saw a bright spot when you look at Adam. And then after they fell, they went to the world and tried to put leave on them.
Yes, right.
Then the Lord came and killed an animal and put blood on them.
Yes, sir.
They said, if you do not preach grace radically, people's lives will never be radically blessed and radically transformed. Now, God know me. God know me like he knew Paul. You know, God knew I was a flat-out, strong sinner. What I believed in, I believe. If I believe in scotch, I drank scotch. Whatever I believe in staying out all night, I stayed out all night. Nobody will change that, okay? God knew that. He knew that about the Apostle Paul. He knew that about me. See, I'm his man now. Yeah, I don't care. I'm just preaching because I know it's the truth. Man has developed many strategies, methodologies, technique, and tactic for achieving personal success. You know that. You got more self-help book. The Bible says in the very first verse of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And the writer said, even though there are some counsel in the ungodly resources, there's a higher way for the believer. Higher way. Let me ask you a question. The question was asked in this book. Why rely on self-help when you can have direct access to God help? Remember now what we talk about achieving and what? Big difference. See? Now, believing is there. So our position in our walk with God is to believe God. When we believe God, what's going to happen? We're going to receive from God. And believing and receiving always paramount achieving. We need to call upon the Lord, rather than depend on our own ability to save ourselves. Some believers, it's sad to say, without the right teaching, they believe they have disqualified on calling on God. Undeserving. Or they say, Lord, help me because they have attended church regularly, read the Bible sufficiently, or prayed enough. Or they say, but when you're drowning, you don't need a teacher to teach you the right steps to take in order to swim and save yourself. You don't need a list of do's and don'ts. You need a Savior who wouldn't have plunged filling into the water to save you. Yeah, pull your right arm. I've been like to drown twice. Talking about pull. I said, man, somebody got to come out here and get me. Pull. I'm going under the third time, man. Then I was in shallow water one time. Man, I'm hollering. I said, man, Montreal told me, said, stand up, daddy. Knee deep. You're scared, man. You're scared. And the people in life like that, they're scared of every little thing, you see. You're preaching to hell, fire, and brimstone. And then you got all these performers. These guys just perform. I can't hardly watch nobody now because it's not helping God's people. You just got them in a frigid. And then these guys going around, somebody got a word from God. And all the word is to get money out of your pocket. You, that woman, that same woman, that widow woman, or the woman with the stick. And they're talking about, they got man, and they got some of them going from minister to ministry, because these ministers hurting for money. And so anybody say they got out, so they got this man, he going around, and then he talking, and then he says, you know, God says, so many of y'all sin so much. We got all that, all that's going on, see. And because they're not operating. And I'm, you know, just, somebody got to say something. You're called by the Lord, I'm just going to read a few more minutes, to be a success. To enjoy wealth, to enjoy health, and to enjoy a life of victory. Listen, class, you listen, let me give it to you again. You're destined to reign, but you're not going to reign without grace. Yes, sir. Romans 5:17, you need to eat it up and get an understanding of it. You're called by the Lord to be a success, to enjoy wealth, to enjoy health, and to enjoy a life of victory. It is not the Lord's desire that you live a life of defeat, poverty, and failure. Because he'll call you to be the head, not the tail. If you're trusting the Lord for a new career, he doesn't just want you to have a job. He wants you to have a position of influence so you can be a blessing and an asset to your organization. Whatever your vocation is, you are destined to reign in life because Jesus is Lord of your life. When you reign in life, you must reign over sin, reign over the power of darkness, reign over depression, reign over poverty, reign over every curse, and reign over sickness and disease. We're to reign over the devil and all his devices. Why we haven't been doing that? Because we haven't been operating in grace. You know, I said, I listened to this young man, I've listened about 25 hours. He never missed a beat. You know, it's just like I teach prosperity. This young man, these guys like to come from El Salvador and all these different places, got more revelation than these people in America. These people here ain't got no, the Bible, they're just going around the circle teaching the same thing. They never go no further in the depth of God. I know God has endless revelation out there for us, but it's just been five or six running the whole Christian world in America. Everybody's scared to break out. Let's lick it up. Nobody won't break out. I left me. If I wouldn't left, I wouldn't have my jet to take off Thursday, you know. The power to reign does not depend on your family background. I know that's the truth. Your education qualification, how you look, or how much saving you have in your bank account. The power to reign is based on Jesus and him alone. The declaration that you will reign is based on a promise that had been recorded for all eternity in the Word of God, Romans 5 and 17. Very simple. For it's by one man offense, death reign, through the one, much more. Those who receive, it's very plain, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, when I read the Bible, I've been a Bible student for almost 40 years. When I read the Bible, I always think about the opposite of a voice. You can get a clear understanding of a voice. So if I don't receive the abundance of grace, and I don't receive righteousness as a gift, I am not going to reign in life. And so by so many organizations and religion and tradition not knowing about the abundance of grace and how it works, most Christians are not reigning in life. You know what you say? You had to reign over, right? You heard what I say? You had to reign over, right? You ran over sin, ran over the power of doctrine, ran over depression, ran over poverty, ran over every curse, ran over sickness and disease. We had to reign over the devil and all his devices. The church hasn't been doing that. Ran, R-A-N. Reign, it had different Greek words for it, but it's referring to kingly, judicial rule. In other words, to reign here is to reign in life as a king, to have kingly rules, and to possess kingly dominion. You ready for this? I think I might close with this because it's like a good jumping off point. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Yes, sir. Now, grace was manufactured at the cross. Righteousness was manufactured at the cross. The love of God, mercy, all that was there at the cross. If you are living a life, number one, of defeat, of being defeated by sin, by perpetual guilt and condemnation, by sicknesses, by anxiety attacks, by financial lack, And by a broken relationship, you're not living the life that God intended for you. So that means nobody can't stand up. See? That means not one of us can stand up. It's a life, you're living a life, you're living a life of defeat, of being defeated by sin, by perpetual guilt and condemnation, by sicknesses, by anxiety attack, by financial lack. See, I teach prosperity all over the world. And I ask, you know, how many financially free? Do you lack sickness? You know, some won't stand up on their confession. But I'm not asking about no confession. I'm asking about manifestation. See, I'm not trying to be cute here. I'm trying to break you to make you. And so I was real strong when I first got, you know, I said, with your broke self. You know, that wasn't nice, but I said it because I, you know, and got a lot of people delivered. You know, I did what I knew how to do, you know. So based on God's word, you're destined to reign in life as a king. I don't want nobody to answer me. How many of y'all reign in life? Don't answer me. I'm talking about reigning in life. Now, I'll tell you, I'm hitting close to it. I got a few things in my body I need to get out. One or two things in my body I need to get out. But at the financial part, my family part, you know, and the devil, he under my feet. Huh? When you ran in life to have kingly dominion over all your challenges and circumstances, you're called to be above them and not be trampled by them. Man, I want to quit. I got to quit. Man. Today, instead of seeing ourselves reigning in life, we see more evidence of death reigning in the world. And the Bible tells us because of one man offense, Adam, sin in the Garden of Eden, that death began to reign. It is important that you realize that our lives are wrapped up in those of our ancestors. We are sinners not because we sinned, but because Adam sinned. Many believers still think they became sinners by committing sin. But that's not what the Word of God said. We sinned because Adam sinned. You ain't now you come a little bit. How you sin? You don't know. I got a little grand. I got a grand. Yeah, grandson now. I don't know. He about 2 or 0. Yeah, that boy don't know me no sin. Then we find out last night that Deidre and Martell gonna have a little girl. They pull a trick on us last night, boy. I never seen nothing like this. You might want to use it. We all that man. We all that, you know, the revealing. They went and found out yesterday morning. So this is the revealing part. Okay. So we got all these cookies. Donnell made all these, what is the thing there? Huh? Cupcakes. So everybody get a cupcake. All right. So when you bite into cupcake, you know, pink for the girl and blue for the boy, right? So when you bite into your cupcake, that's when you're supposed to find out. All right. So we all had a family, all that both sides. So we bit in blue. Oh, it's a boy. Everybody's excited, boy. He's a boy, man. I told Donnell, I said, man, you're a man. I'm here, a boy. So then a box handed to Carolyn and I. They say they won't give us a gift, you know. And she opened the box. What come out the box? A pink balloon. It's a girl. Trick your mom, they trick everybody. So then they all done, and then they had so many people in the room sad, though. The Lord knew that. Her little sister was sad. Her other sister, her two sisters sad. Some other people in the room sad, you know. And then it came out as a little girl. It didn't make me no difference, you know. It was a little girl. If I don't get them more boys, Jesse and brother, I got 4 boys. I got enough preachers. I got the preachers ready to go. All right, class, I'm going to close here. I'm coming back teaching more on grace. So I got it's a whole lot more. You know, I There's so much we have to learn. And you're in school for such a time as this. You will go out as one of the most educated students that ever been in this school. You may not be able to handle it all at this time. And I'll tell you what, I would ask you not to try to preach it or teach it to other people now, because all they're going to do is discourage you. Kind of incubate it, and, you know, talk to the Lord about it. The Holy Spirit will help you, and you got your instructions here, because we know we are breakthrough believers. We're breakthrough believers. We're pioneering something in the body of Christ that is kindred to the book of Acts. And we recognize that we're going to turn ministers out. We don't know which one of y'all are going to make such a great difference in the days to come. What you hear in the average Christian who lived in the church 70 to 80 years never heard this. It's a truth that is being restored in the body of Christ. It's a revelation from heaven. Okay? And what I'm good about is I got my boys here, they're pastors. I got LTMA. I got them to help me to do this thing. God knew what he was doing. He said this thing up all the time. God got me out of that circle. See, the circle is a circle of control. But my anointing is not a controlling anointing. If I ever see you trying to control me, that's why I never try to control a man. I see, I'm gone, because I know there's almost always another level. My independence have caused God to be my source. And when it looked like I should have been going down, when they tried to close all those pulpits on me, I never even thought about it. I just kept preaching what I preached. God opened up a lot of other doors, bigger doors, but I don't have to be vexed with them, with their unbelief and their controlling spirit. And so they're constantly asking about it. Where he went? What are you doing? What are you going to do with a plan like that? The man told him, fly. It's amazing what God would do if you trust him totally. And you know, do what he tell you to do. And we right in the middle, now, this thing going to click. All of a sudden, this thing going to click in you. Might take a while. See, you got a lot of, see, Roto-Rooters say, if the clog bad, they got to call in for help. And I know there's a lot of clogging in our minds and our hearts over the years. But look at me. Deep down inside, every person in this room knew it has to be more than this. I know we sing our song. I know we get happy. I know we do all the things. We run, we flip, fall out. But every person on the side of my voice, not only in this auditorium, by internet, Ruko, they all know. Every Christian know it got to be more. Some of y'all have studied the Bible. Some of y'all wore Bibles out. You love God with all your heart. And you want to go for God. You want to do what God wants you to do. But you got so many personal problem yourself. You know, not having enough money is a personal problem. I'm telling you right now, I've had personal problems. That shouldn't be. And I think when we align with God properly and do what God tells us to do, we're going to break all these yokes, destroy these yokes. It's time for these yokes to be destroyed. I think when we start living like this, a lot of people are going to get saved. Multitude of people are going to get saved. The reason people are not getting saved now is they're scared of y'all. We'll send them to hell, brother, in a minute with our Bible. We'll preach it, boy, you know. But we're not rightly a lot of time dividing the word of God. Matter of fact, we took a text out of context and made it say what we wanted to say, you know. And just remember, all the Bible is truly stated, but all the Bible is not a statement of truth. There are things that are said in the Bible to people who lie, cheat, witchcraft people in the Bible. So you ain't going to take a witchcraft text and go preach it to God's people. So you got to write and divide the word. You got to know who's speaking, who they're talking to. A lot of this stuff for the Jews. We the New Testament church. Yes, sir. Yes. We students. We're learning, right? Yes, sir. Don't permit yourself to be condemned.
Yes, sir.
God love you. God have already paid. Jesus have already paid for all your sin. You know, remember when a man was blind? That's the first thing to church for. Who sinned? Jesus said, get your tail out there. Ain't nobody sinned. That my wife might be. See, so we're always looking for who sinned or who did it, who did that. The Bible says the tradition of men has made the word of God, by tradition strong, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Of none effect. But thank God we got a group coming along now, moving beyond tradition and moving out in the word of God.
Yes,
just study, go in and find every text you can find on grace. That's your assignment. Memorize scripture on grace. Look at the context of it. And then we'll get back into this in our next session. I just shut the other book down right now. I need to teach you about this over and over again. Sometimes I might teach the same thing. I know when it'll click. It'll click. And then you're not you won't be filthy rag. Old sinner saved by grace. Just a beggar trying to get a piece of bread. We got all that on us, you know. I'm just so boy. And I thought, boy, when I first started preaching, I heard an old preacher say that. I'm just a beggar trying to get a piece of bread. I said, boy, that man, God, he deep, boy. I'm gonna follow him. I find the Lord didn't want to be no beggar. He probably came before in the prayer. Now, ain't it, man? The beggar was the Christian. The man who was dressed in purple and fine linen was a sinner. Wrong end of the table. And we done took made golden text out of that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then we say, we humble and say, I don't want much in life.
Yeah.
Unless you have the clothes of your, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You far from God when you're living on less.
Yeah.
God wants you blessed.
Yeah.
So people don't even want to come to church. They don't come to church because church, they're begging too much.
Yeah. Yes,
they hold the offering to take an hour and a half. Because if you don't have the light, you're going to come here next Sunday, you're going to need a flashlight. Life gonna be out because they trust in man as their soul. I never did. I just do wild things. Just things far beyond my head. But God tell me to do it, and He take care of it every time.
Yes, sir.
Sweatless. I don't know what a gallon of fuel is for that jet, and I'm flying a jet. It's 14, I think, in so many years. 14 years. It got almost a $500,000 check. It got to go get. So what? I go to a city. God told me I can't stay in them cheap hotels. I lose my anointing. Some people walk around there undressed, just talking silly and eating them little biscuit and stuff. And you got a $1,500 suit on. They don't even look at you. So the Lord told me, said, so sometime I fly from town to town. In other words, the town I'm going in, they don't have a nice enough hotel for this anointing to live in. So I fly right over to the other city, about an hour and a half in the car, but I just fly, 20 minutes.
Yes, yes.
Say, well, what about saving a few? God ain't told me save nothing. God told me sow and go.
Yes, sir.
So I don't be budgeting. Them boys, we go out there, them boys, we eat whatever you want to eat. Yeah, we ain't got no list of much. This $14. They come to the table, and these boys, y'all won't let me pay for nothing, but they come to the table. They come to the table, the lady's nice, fine restaurant. She come to the table and say, now this 42, I said, ma'am, come here. Whenever you see me, whenever I come to the table, don't come giving us no price list. We didn't come to eat the price. Tell us what you got to eat. We're going to eat what we want to eat, then we're going to pay you. That's the life you want to live. And so I think this is going to get us there. All right? God bless you, Claire. God bless you. I think this is going to get us there.